In the name of the Holy Trinity, one God, in whom we live and move and have our being. Amen. Amen. I want to focus my words this morning upon our first reading, the reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. And to understand the full impact of this reading, we need to back up and look at things in the historical matrix in which they took place. Jeremiah was a prophet in the northern kingdom, so northern kingdom, southern kingdom, just before the time of the Babylonian exile in 587 BC. Israel had not been faithful to the keeping of the covenant, and so Jeremiah had the awful task of telling them so. He was a prophet of tears, of tearfulness. But he's also a prophet of hope. Roughly contemporaneous with Jeremiah is the prophet Ezekiel, but he's in the southern kingdom that has been taken over into Babylonian captivity. But I want you to listen again to their words and to listen with the ears of your heart. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, the southern kingdom. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to one another, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. That from Jeremiah. From Ezekiel. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you. Then you shall be my people, and I will be your God. My brothers and sisters in Christ, and I say that in all honesty and all earnestness because I feel like you are brothers and sisters, part of the family of faith that God has brought us to. These words are happening right now. These prophecies are fulfilled in you and in me. It's interesting to note, curious history of translation. The word Torah, which can refer to the first five books of the Hebrew Scriptures, but most specifically refers to what we call the law, can also be translated the instruction, the guide to living. And within the context of what we're talking about here, you notice that Yahweh, in speaking through the prophet Jeremiah, says, the house of Israel, I am their husband. So we're not talking about a law-giving relationship. I don't know of too many husbands here who lay down the law at home. You know how far that gets. We're talking about a relationship that is a relationship of tenderness, a relationship of love. This is what we're talking about. And instead of translating the word Torah, law, maybe it should be translated a guide for living, a guide to the relationship, because what we're talking about is a covenant, a relationship. I will place that guide to living within them. That refers to all of us. That's who we are. That prophecy has been fulfilled in us. We are, in a sense, you could say, hardwired St. Augustine, writing in the beginning of the 5th century, said we possess what he called a capax dei, a capacity for God. Centuries later, Karl Rahner, a Roman Catholic theologian writing in the last century, referred to it as a supernatural existentiel, an innate capacity of reception, a capacity to know God, to receive God, to receive God's love, to be in relationship with the transcendent, the husband, the beloved of the Lord. Any relationship of love doesn't talk about law. A relationship of love talks about the give and take of honesty, of tenderness, of sacrifices made and sacrifices accepted, of a transparency and vulnerability and trust that develops. This is what they're referring to when they talk about the Torah. This is what is imprinted in our hearts. And this is what the Lenten season is about. Now you may say, well, Jesus, this is the fifth Sunday of Lent. Isn't it kind of like, am I not overdue? Maybe I haven't done all the things I should do. It's never too late. Never too late. This innate capacity, this hardwiredness within us is always there. God always offering, God always beckoning. We call it a gift, but remember, a gift is never a gift until it is received. And that's what the season of Lent is about. Our reception of the fact that we are hardwired, meant to be in relationship, meant to be loved by the one who loves us so much. There's a story about a neurosurgeon in Salt Lake City. He is regionally known, probably nationally known, and he would be famous for working on people for in the surgery for hours. He would go, in between surgeries, he would go to the Starbucks, and this is not a commercial for Starbucks, but it is a real place there at the university hospital. He would go to Starbucks and ask for two shots in the dark, which meant two shots of espresso in dark coffee without the cream. How he did surgery on somebody's brain with that mixture, I don't know, but it kept him going. But the story is told that one day he was in surgery and his personal assistant was sitting out and saw smoke rising from the laptop computer on his desk. And naturally she got alarmed and she pulled the plug and after a while the smoke disappeared. But she told him when he came back from surgery, you've got a problem with your laptop. And he started taking it apart. And she said, you know, if you take it apart and you take the innards out, you're going to violate the warranty. And he says, well, the warranty isn't any good to me with no computer, and I don't have time to send it off somewhere, so I'll take care of it myself. Now, only somebody who is a brain surgeon, who's familiar with the circuitry of a human brain, would dare to do something like that and to go to Radio Shack and buy the necessary parts and components, put them together, and lo and behold, after his surgery on the computer's motherboard, the computer booted up. It was faster. It was better than it was before. If I can use that as a metaphor for Lent, this is what we're about. We are our circuitry. Our circuitry is innately in relationship with someone, a God who loves us. There's no question about that. It's not going to be taken away. But we know from time to time the circuitry fails us, and sometimes we don't respond as we should. Maybe it's not smoke that comes from our system. Maybe it's just a lot of hot air and ego. Maybe we get things confused in the circuitry up here, and we need to be reminded of who we are, suffering from a kind of amnesia about our true identities. Our identity is we are loved by God. There is never a time when that is taken away, expired, overdue, invalid, malfunctioning, The offering is always there, over and over and over again. But a grace is never a grace, a gift is never a gift, until it's appreciated and accepted, and a yes is given by all of us. And so on this fifth Sunday of Lent, as we begin what used to be called the season of Passiontide, it's never too late to say yes. It's never too late to redo the wiring. It's never too late to download the free upgrade of the love that we have been given so that we can function as we were meant to function, so that we can be the people we are meant to be, so that we can be loved as we are loved and share that same love, that same energy with one another. We read in Isaiah, another prophet, "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and trust shall be your strength." I hope our hearts are prepared for the great Easter reboot. Responsive, intimately connected with our Lord and with one another, ready to do the work that we've been given to do, to make a difference in our world, and to share the love that is so readily shared with us. Amen.